My name is Perry Garfinkel. I'm a journalist of many years, a longtime contributor to the New York Times. I've written 5 books on men's issues, including In a Man's World, Father, Son, Brother, Friend, and Other Roles Men Play. And I've been writing for the New York Times since 1986.
Perry, first of all, I was interested to read about how men are believed to grieve differently from women when something hits them hard, such as the loss of a spouse. How do men grieve differently?
One of the ways, Pat, that men grieve differently is that the men have been sociologically conditioned not to show their emotions. We hold back. We don't cry. Big men don't cry. And so your wife dies, and that is the most, probably the most traumatic event you'll ever experience. And we're conflicted to start with. Women are allowed to show their grief and cry. Men have been trained not to. So already we're kind of sublimating our real true emotions. So it creates a lot of conflict within our bodies and our minds, which means that what happens is men suffer more mental and physical health problems after the death of their wife than women do.
And looking at the numbers, the increased rates of suicide, of death, suffering from depression, all more than women. I guess it's part of being a stoic male, isn't it? Especially a male of a certain age.
Yes, yes. Well, older men, you know, are still living in the shadow of the Marlboro man, if you will, and mm-hmm. and that adds to the complexity. Now, you know, young men, in fact, I met a guy of 40 who was age 45 who had lost his wife. He was suffering the same way, Pat. There's no place they can go to really show their true emotions. And men who go to these bereavement groups and they find, you know, they walk in and there's 2 men and 8 women.
That's
It's very awkward for men to really open up in front of a group of women like that. I know myself, if I go into a group of 8 women not grieving, I feel like the odd guy out, literally.
Yeah.
I hate to use that cliche, but misery loves company. And in the company of your same gender, we speak a language. Men speak a language that's different. We experience emotions differently, so it takes less to get the sympathy of another man once you've, you know, put your cards on the table.
And at one group mentioned in that New York Times article, men were asked in the bereavement group not how do you feel, which would probably be off-putting to a group of guys, but what did you do? Now, explain that to me.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because I found that to be fundamental, like the keystone of this, the difference. You know, it goes back to Margaret Mead and Gregory Bateson. Men do, women be. Women know how to be in a coffee klatch together. Men, you know, go out and play baseball. They, you know, put their heads under the hood of the car and they mm-hmm. bond around the doing. In this situation, I've seen that bereaving men build monuments to their wives as a way to demonstrate their love for them, starting with the Taj Mahal, which was the great monument to the wife of Shah Jahan in India. Now comes Sam Feldman, who I wrote about in my story, whose wife died after something like 53 years. And how did he react after he went into a kind of emotional paralysis for a long time? I knew him a long time, and eventually he tried to find a men's group, could not, and he eventually started a men's group on Martha's Vineyard and then started this National Men's Bereavement Network.
Which is fabulous, taking your grief and doing something positive. Well, you know, I often, with my husband now, whenever I come home from a hard day at work, I'll tell him what happened, and he'll try to fix it right away. So I think that with what, not how you feel, but what did you do? Men want to fix things right away. So if you're in a group of men, you do, or
That's
you talk
right.
about what you did. So
and,
that makes
and,
perfect sense.
I'm sorry. It's interesting you brought up the fix it thing. One of the guys I interviewed for the story, for the Times story, who didn't end up in the story. His name is Jerry Schaefer, and after his wife died, he started collecting notes on, you know, how do I put my life back together? How do I fix it? He was a management operations consultant. So he ended up writing a book called The Widower's Toolkit, which I found both poignant and a bit humor, you know, funny,
yeah,
that here's the way men will fix it, as you say. The other piece that I wanted to mention before was there was a study that showed that the reaction of men is a feeling of dismemberment after their wives die. And when I was reading this research, when I wrote the story, I stopped because that was such a brutal image, isn't it, Pat?
Oh.
Dismemberment. And for a man, losing his wife, it's like his arm was cut off. And it relates back to, well, what are the roles of men and women in marriages? And the woman is usually the homemaker, the kid raiser. She's the glue of most families, and that glue literally is, you know, undone, and a man loses a big piece of himself. In fact, I was thinking this morning before we talked, you know, the great movie Jerry Maguire,
mm-hmm.
and the famous line, he says to her, "You complete me."
Yes.
And I thought about that. It's not the other way around. Women do seem to, you know, pull it together. They mourn in a healthy way, and then they try to rebuild their lives without, you know, the man they loved. But men are incomplete in an almost literal, you know, physical way that women don't experience in the same way.
I think you're right. Although, you know, what the saying is, women mourn, men replace. Not true?
You know, that was a bit of a conundrum for me to figure out. There's anecdotal evidence
mm-hmm.
that men replace and women mourn. I know that from the men's group I sat in on, maybe 4 of the 8 or 10 had found new loves in their lives. But I can say candidly, at least one I know well, who is involved with somebody new, says, you know, she will never replace the love of his life.
Yes.
And that's very telling. And the new research I see suggests that the griever needs to put their life back together, move forward, bring new love into the life, but never forget, and they can't forget, you know, the person they were married to 20, 30, even 5 years, their first, you know, marriage, or whatever marriage it is. People from your past are part of your present.
Absolutely. I had a laugh when you were talking about Sam Feldman and his wife, mm-hmm. Gretchen. She used to say to him, "Watch out if I die of women bearing casseroles."
Mm-hmm.
that was hilarious to me because in some ways it's a stereotype, but all these widows trying to snag their next husband is the picture you're left with, you know?
Yeah, and since I know him, I know he went to a group of which ended up being mostly women, and he didn't feel comfortable in that situation. His wife had said, "Don't accept a casserole that had an email number or a phone number and email address attached to it." And he's a very nice guy, and he has a good sense of humor. And for, you know, a year or two, he didn't. He was very somber, and that was telling. And in fact, that's another piece of this, that there's a lot of questions about how long is a healthy period to recover from the grieving process, and I've seen numbers like 6 months and et cetera. The best analysis for me came from George Bonanno, who's a clinical psychologist at Columbia who focuses on grief and bereavement. He said it oscillates, as it should. You know, there are months of between positive and negative emotion, waves of sadness about loss, and then hope for the future. I too, feel that you know, certain events or moments or even a silly commercial can trigger memories of somebody you lose, and it's healthy to grieve. It's healthy to grieve, and then it's healthy to, you know, not stay in that grief moment and see if you can push through.
I don't know if men deal with this in quite the same way as women, but there's a lot of, I guess you can say, that's right, I guess you could say judgment out there. Everybody has a an opinion as to when you're ready to quote unquote move on, when you should start dating, when you should, I mean, and really, is it anybody's business, A, but B, people certainly let you know.
Yeah, you know? No, everybody has an opinion, and God bless them, everybody wants to help you move past the grief. Myself, I don't feel that there's a time frame. The clock is not ticking. And as I just said, keeping somebody in your heart forever, that's more than just a Hallmark sentiment. The other piece that I find interesting about these men's bereavement groups is the one particularly with this National Men's Bereavement Network is they're focusing on peer-led. And I want to say something about that. Do we have a second?
Sure.
Yeah. From my research from my previous books, what I came to learn that is that men are very hierarchical. They want to know who's in power, who's in control, who's on top, who knows more, who's taller, who's faster, and, you know, the rest.
Ay, ay, ay.
And so, men walk into a bereavement session, and let's say it is men only because they feel more comfortable among men. And there's a leader, a facilitator, as they call them, a mm-hmm. therapist, a specialist in grief, a mental health professional. So I thought about this a lot in reflecting on this story and this movement of, grieving men. And I think it's because of that. Men don't like to be in the company. They don't like to be led by somebody who knows more or thinks he knows more or acts like he knows more or holds more power. And they either, have to attack or defend or withdraw. And none of those are healthy options and responses in the vulnerable place they're coming from. So the peer-led is a very interesting concept because it's going to be orchestrated, just sort of unofficially led, by another widower. So, again, in the misery loves company, somebody who has been through the same emotion as you, has a much, even though they're not professionally trained as a mental health professional, may be better equipped to, basically facilitate a group of men going through the same emotions.
I had never thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
And the last thing is that all of this is kind of triggered. Why we're talking about this, why the Times assigned me to do this, why that piece became the third most emailed story for 2 days in the New York Times Science Times section, is that the most recent census studies show that men are catching up to women in lifespan. So it stands to reason that there will be more men left, widowed than before. So this is a growing demographic of widowers, and there's not enough research. And part of what I'd like to say here in closing is that is a call for more research. I know that there's at Columbia, they're beginning a 10-year longitudinal study supported by an NIH grant, but it's about widowhood. And this focus on men and how men grieve and how men could grieve more in a more healthy fashion is something I would really like to see happen over the next couple of years.